Well, generally, I don't watch much television, but if I do do a bit of catch-up, often I find myself watching these renovation programs, you know, where there's a garden or a house that needs some renovating. And often they get professionals in, and these professionals come in and kind of transform the garden or the property from where it was to what it ends up like. I'm currently really into Your Home Made Perfect. Anybody seen that? I don't know if anybody watches it. But actually, they have these kind of reality goggles. They kind of like have reality, so they're able to go into their home with these goggles. It often looks much tidier than when they left it. I'm thinking about getting some goggles for my house so that you think my house is tidy when you come in to it. But actually, they kind of architects come in and they take walls down and they move staircases. Sometimes they add an extension. And then they go back afterwards and it has totally transformed this space. Still the same house or the same space, but totally transformed. Well, actually, we see something of a total transformation in this woman's life that we read, just watched the story of as she encounters Jesus. She's not named in the story, she's just simply introduced as the woman who has been suffering with a gynecological problem, which means she's had continual bleeding for the last 12 years. And the impact, as we can imagine, is far-reaching. Not only would continual bleeding be physically debilitating and exhausting, it would tap all of her energy all of the time, but we're also told that she spent all that she had going to doctors trying to help her, trying to heal her and to solve the problem. So there was physical impact, but also financial impact. But we're told that nothing had worked. She tried so hard to get better. But actually, our modern reading of the story probably misses the two aspects that would have been most significant, or the impacts that would have been most significant in her life. It's because social and purity laws in that day meant that because she was unclean, they classed her as unclean. It meant that she couldn't touch anybody else and they couldn't touch her. She couldn't sit anywhere. She couldn't go anywhere. Anywhere that she went would be classed unclean. It's really hard to imagine, isn't it, why that was the case, but also how that must have felt. She wasn't able to kind of interact with people. She would have been barred from the temple. Now, in Jesus' day, people believed that the presence of God was found in the temple. So in effect, for 12 years, this woman had been barred from the presence of God according to the laws around her. And of course, relationally, no one would want to connect with her. She wouldn't have been able to mix with any friends or family if she had any. She wouldn't have been allowed to work. Nobody would be able to talk to her. Nobody would be able to hug her. Actually, over the last 18 months or so, we've known a little bit about that, haven't we? Of kind of being in isolation. You imagine what it must have been like to have had that happen for 12 years and have no signs of it getting any better or the situation changes. This woman is desperate to encounter Jesus. She has a need to bring before Jesus, but then she discovers that lots of other people also want to see Jesus and bring their needs to him. Because when she arrives and finds Jesus, she finds that there is a crowd around him. Now, maybe as she thought about trying to encounter Jesus and ask for healing, maybe it was always her intention that she would simply touch Jesus' garment in faith that she would be healed. Certainly, she would have been aware that because of the laws at the time that considered her to be unclean, she shouldn't even been in the crowd anyway. Maybe she was trying to maintain a low profile. Maybe the crowd was so big that all she could do was just put her hand through the crowd, and the only thing that she could do was to touch Jesus' garment. But I'm also wondering whether this was a bit of a split-second decision. Because this woman's story is part of a bigger story, the story of Jairus, who's come to Jesus and asked him to go and see his daughter. So Jesus and Jairus begin to walk off. And as they do so, maybe this woman saw her opportunity to be healed walking off in the distance as Jesus walks off. Maybe she realized actually she didn't need to interrupt Jairus and Jesus. She didn't even need to speak to Jesus. All she needed to do was to touch the hem of his cloak. She had enough faith to believe that if she could do that, she would be healed. That is the depth of this woman's faith. So let me stop and ask you a question. How would you describe this woman's faith? Maybe if you've got somebody next to you, you might just want to have a moment to talk to them or say to them just one or two words, or just think for yourself. How might you describe this woman's faith? So just have a moment just to talk to the person next to you, around you, or just think for yourself how you might describe it. Any thoughts? Anything? Anybody want to share anything? You have to shout loudly like Laura and Sianna and Isabella did. Anybody want to say, what were some of the first words that came into your mind as you thought about this woman's faith? Anne? Trust, yeah, she trusted. Constant. Constant, yeah. She was consistent in her faith and belief. Strong, yeah. Non-negotiable, she was going to get there come what may. Brave, yeah. Okay, here's some things that I thought, here's some things that I prepared earlier. First of all, I thought it was probably she had a mixture, maybe she was a bit fearful. Not only, maybe not what Jesus might say, but what the crowd might say, she pushed through. So that mixture of faith and fear, I kind of thought about the fact that her faith was amazing. That it was simple. It was a simple action, wasn't it? Just to touch the edge of somebody's cloak. But actually, it was also really profound in what it said about her faith and trust, her consistency in trusting Jesus. I talked about being risky. It was a risky thing. She didn't know how Jesus was going to react. She didn't know how the crowd would react. Also, think about the cultural boundaries that she had to step over. Gender, social boundaries, religious boundaries, all sorts of things that she had to overcome in order to encounter Jesus. Called it audacious faith, a willingness to take surprisingly bold risks. And last but not least, I've put that she had a willingness to think and to act outside of the box. So she had been boxed in by her culture, and she was brave enough, and she was prepared to take a risk to step out of that box and encounter Jesus. So as Jesus walks by, she reaches out, touches the hem of Jesus' garment, and we're told that she knew immediately that she had been healed. Instead of uncleanliness going from her to Jesus, we're told that Jesus' power went into her body and healed her. But that's not the end of the story, because we're told then that Jesus stops. I doubt whether she was expecting this to happen. He needs to get to Jairus' house quickly. Why does he stop and turn around and ask what seems to be a crazy question when he's in the middle of a crowd? He asks the question, "Who touched me?" The disciples say, "Lord, it's a crazy question. Nobody's touching you. You're in a crowd. Everybody's pushing in on you." But actually, Jesus knew that somehow his power had gone out and impacted somebody. Now imagine how the woman felt. She'd gone from the high of realizing that she had been healed to the low of recognizing that she had to kind of come clean and admit what she had done and that it was her. And so that's what she does. She falls at Jesus' feet and she tells him her story and the fact that she has been healed. Well, if she wasn't expecting Jesus to stop, I also can almost guarantee that she wasn't expecting what happened next. Of course, I don't know what she was expecting, but I suspect that maybe she was expecting Jesus to punish her or yell at her or kind of dismiss her or banish her. Actually, what Jesus does is he commends her and blesses her. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Just want to linger on those words, just to give you a moment to look at those words on the screen. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Jesus sees this woman. He really sees through all sorts of layers and understands her. Where other people see uncleanliness and exclusion, Jesus sees courage and faith. She may be nameless in the Bible and to us, but actually Jesus gives her a title that is more precious almost than anything else he could have said to her and called her. Because he calls her, or gives her the title, daughter. That's a really kind of intimate word that Jesus used. And of course, in doing so, he not only lets her, but also lets the community around her know that she is loved and affirmed by God. That sense that he is affirming her and telling her and the crowd that here is somebody who belongs. Jesus calls this woman out not to embarrass her, but to affirm her and bless her. Of course, he then paves the way for her to be kind of reinstalled into the community, to be restored back into the community. Once again, she was able to belong. Her encounter with Jesus, I want to say, is much more than just the physical act of healing. It's almost that restoration and affirmation of the whole of her life. He shatters her loneliness. He offers that sense of relationship with him and with others. Jesus could have quite easily continued walking, but he decided to stop. He too chose to cross multiple barriers and boundaries. And I want to say that if Jesus hadn't stopped, then this woman's healing wouldn't have been complete in terms of her whole healing. But Jesus did stop, and she was healed on many different levels. I want to say that I think she was healed kind of with more than she hoped for, could have asked for, or imagined. Jesus' encounter gave her the gift of healing and hope and restoration. So as we reflect on her story, where do we see ourselves in this encounter, in this story? For a moment, I want to go back to what we said or what you thought about when I asked you to think about describing the woman's faith. And then for us to think about, how does my faith match that faith? Am I brave? Do I trust? Is my faith consistent? Is it persistent, come what may? Is it, I guess for many of us, there's that sense of faith and fear being mixed together. Is it risky? Are we willing to think outside and act outside of the box at times? Because this is the kind of faith that Jesus affirms. It's not perfect faith. As I say, often probably there's a mixture of things in there. But it is faith that acts and is consistent. And it's faith that was willing to acknowledge the need in the first place and bring that need to Jesus. If this woman had accepted the restrictions that had been placed upon her, if she'd allowed past failures, the doctors had looked at me, nobody's been able to heal me, if she'd allowed that thinking to shape her actions on this day, she would never have been healed. But she was persistent. and she stepped into God's blessing. And for me, that was the catalyst for everything else that happened on that day. I've been challenged, really challenged recently, to think about this whole idea of stepping into God's blessing. Because, you know, sometimes I think that we kind of sit there, we might pray about something, we might ask God for something, and then we sit there and wait for God to bless us. And sometimes he does. Sometimes that is a way that God works in the mystery of everything. Sometimes he gives us blessing upon blessing. But more often than not, I wonder whether he's calling us to step out in faith as we pray and seek his blessing in our lives for whatever we are praying for. Of course, we need to pray and we need to seek his guidance. And sometimes when we do that, the blessing doesn't seem to come. But actually, I've been challenged about how much sometimes we sit passively and wait rather than trying to take a risk and stepping out in faith. It's kind of the stuff of mystery as to how all this works, isn't it? But actually, I want to say, right from the beginning of the Bible, all the way through the Bible, we see that God acts through people, through his people, God's people. We're confronted with the truth in Scripture that we aren't just kind of spectators, passively sitting with our feet up, kind of watching God's will happen. Actually, we are designed to participate. And I want to say that participation begins with that step of faith. There must have been loads of people there on that day. Only two people were mentioned anyway that showed faith. One was Jairus and the other one was this woman. Jesus distinguishes between simply being present and participating in active risk-taking faith. You know, we rarely, if ever, get to find out the impact of faith in people's lives. Because often we see them in Scripture, they encounter Jesus, and then we never hear about them anymore. But I'm wondering, and this is only my wonderings, but I wonder whether this woman, what did she do when she'd been healed, apart from connect with different people and enjoy the newfound freedom that Jesus had given her? But I wonder whether she went back to the margins where she had come from, not to live in the margins because Jesus had released her from that. But I wonder whether she went back to those that were feeling isolated and on the fringes of society and shared her story, told them about the transformation, that encounter with Jesus, shared something of her testimony. I wonder whether she encouraged others to have that encounter with Jesus, that transformation that only he can bring. The same Jesus who walked these streets 2,000 years ago is the same Jesus that is walking our streets through his people and his spirit today. So I wonder whether God is calling each one of us to go out and to share what Jesus has done in our lives. You know, as we think about that, I want to say that God always stops, just as he stopped on this day with this woman. Whenever we call out to him, he always stops and listens. It might be that we need an answer to prayer. It might be that we need him to affirm us. Maybe he's challenging us about something. But we need to recognize our need and then bring it to Jesus, just as this woman did. Maybe your need today is to have that personal encounter with Jesus. Maybe there's a sense that we're trying to fix something that we need to put down and give to Jesus. Maybe we have a need to be healed. You know, there's all sorts of aspects of healing. There's the physical, but sometimes emotional, spiritually, lots of different ways. Maybe there's a relationship that needs healing or needing that sense of forgiveness. And where, lastly, do we take the love of Jesus? Where do we share that story of Jesus in our lives? Jesus often chose to cross multiple boundaries in order to encounter people and to show his love. And actually, that is true of us as his people.